Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Adames cracks one out into Triple's alley. And it's going to fall. Adames is off to the races. Yeah. Two runs are going to score. Adames has got a triple.
And that ball's jumping off his bat.
Now, back to the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap. The best Giants talk in the Bay on 95.7 The Game.
Mike, Dwayne Kuiper and Mike Kruko on the call for NBC Sports California on that Willy Adames triple there. And he definitely wanted to go four bases there, but was right to hold up there at third. Willy Adames just continuing to come through for the Giants this month, hitting .361 right now for the Giants in the month of July. Dan, ever since he got that day off on June 8th against the Braves, he is hitting, let me pull this up, make sure I get the right one, .304 since then, .383 on base percentage, 7 home runs, 22 runs, 22 RBIs over his last 29 games ever since getting that day off on that Sunday. Then he had the Monday off, and then he went to Denver that week, and he has not looked back. Giants fans, they were doubting this guy. They wanted to get rid of him. They were already calling the contract a bust. And 29 games later, he is looking every bit the part that Giants fans were expecting there. And we love to see it. One thing, though, that's been not as fun to see.
Wait, I just want to follow up on that.
Oh, okay, so, yeah, quick Adames thought.
Really quick. So in Sacramento, remember he had the back-to-back games and a total of 7 RBIs? So, like he was destroying the A's. And I just wanted to use that as a segue because I know that did you go to the game Saturday?
I went to the Saturday night game, yes.
You went to the Saturday night game. Okay, so you weren't there on Sunday. Just one quick bone to pick yet again when it comes to setter health and that mistake out there in Sacramento.
I'll be honest. I did not hate that going to that game at setter health. I kind of like, is it an affront to baseball to be playing in a minor league ballpark like that? Absolutely. But I also enjoy chilling on that lawn out there for a couple innings, watching Giants A's baseball. It was a very interesting experience. I absolutely believe that baseball can work in Sacramento. No, not in that ballpark. You need to build a domed stadium or like a roofed stadium of some sort. But, you know, that city would embrace the A's if Major League Baseball gave them a chance. And when John Fisher falls flat on his stupid face and botches this move to Las Vegas and gets kicked to the curb like he deserves, I hope that whoever comes in and buys the A's after that, burying John Fisher, 10 feet under, that they will actually embrace Sacramento and make it work out there, because I absolutely believe the A's and Sacramento could be a great marriage.
Well, here's where I wanted to go with that. Who the hell is Sacramento of all cities? That mistake out there demanding that getaway day for the Giants after a 10-game roadie. That's they play 7:00. A Sunday night game. Who are you to dictate a 7 o'clock start and they got to jump on a bus following that game after this long road trip and head back to San Francisco on getaway day? There are games that are played in New York City, in Boston, in the middle of August that are played smack dab in the middle of the afternoon that has twice the humidity and the heat as one Sacramento. As I understand, it was like a pleasant 75, 80 when you were there?
Yeah, it was warm. It wasn't humid. It's the dry heat out in Sacramento. You know, they do have that humidity on the East Coast.
Just had to get that out of the system.
A lot of people like that 7 o'clock start, actually.
Man, you went to Sacramento and you just became a changed man.
No, I mean, listen, I don't like the situation that they're in. I'm still going to stand by that. But honestly, the 7 o'clock start on Sunday was weird. Like, it's 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon. I'm like, what am I doing right now? Why am I not watching a baseball game? What's going on here? I'm like Ricky Bobby. I don't know what to do with my hands. It was weird. But I mean, it's an hour and a half drive back, you know. And they did take 2 or 3 from Philly right afterwards. So
Posse is trying to do the unthinkable and disagree with the Kahuna here. Posse, do you want to get a live mic and explain yourself?
I disagree, Dan. I understand the argument where there's hotter games that are happening on the East Coast throughout the summer. Why are we making exceptions for Sacramento? I understand that, but it's not like it's, you know, a Sunday night baseball game in Philadelphia and then you're traveling cross country to play at 7 o'clock the next day. It's in Sacramento. It's an hour and a half to get home. This is not like a 5-hour like extravaganza to get home. You got to, you know, crawl through all these hoops. It's in Sacramento. It's not a bad drive, especially that time of night when the game's over. You could do it. Could do it, Dan.
First of all, I don't mind you disagreeing with me once, and so that you just used up for the remainder of our relationship.
How many more can I get?
For the next 15 years, you shall never do this again. But secondly, I would just say that baseball players are creatures of habit. And so while it may, it's just a couple of hours. When you got to play, turn around and play again on that Monday after playing 16 consecutive games, and again, Nobody plays at night in anything. The NFL maybe gets away with it, but it's the NFL.
NFL can get away with whatever it wants.
You cannot play a Major League Baseball game at 7 o'clock at night because the wind's coming off the Delta. Whatever the hell it is that you guys are doing out there in Sack of Tomatoes.
I think they're hoping that Jonathan Kuminga's going to come save them.
No, I hear what you're saying. I do hear what you're saying, but I disagree. I think you could get out of there quicker. You know, maybe that's an option. I don't know how quick you're going to get out of there with media, and you got to change and, you know, get out of there, get on the team bus, whatever it is they take down there. But it's possible. It just have no BP the next day. How about that? Have the guys come in a little bit later.
Boss, did you... Someone blowing your ear from the Sacramento Bee? Are you getting a new gig or something? What's going on here? What's with the allegiance?
They're currently overlooking my application.
All righty. Zach, what do you think about those 7 o'clock starts?
I actually kind of agree with Pasta.
Holy
on this.
Christmas.
I
kill those mics back there.
What is going on here?
I thought it was just first of all, I thought it was like a good change for me. Like, normally on Sunday night, like, it's like, as a fan, it's like, oh, like, there's no baseball going on right now, like, especially this time of year. I thought that fact actually was pretty cool. And then also, like, I've done the drive to Sacramento a bunch. Like, it's really not that bad. It's not like you got to get on a plane, go cross country. So I'm kind of with Pasta on this.
It's not about the travel. It's the audacity that, listen, I don't care that you play 1 o'clock in the afternoon in the heat and humidity of Chicago, the Midwest, and the East Coast. But here in Sacramento, we need to start at 7 o'clock because it's 85 degrees and we don't want to deal with it. I mean, First of all, you're not even a franchise. Secondly, whatever this thing is that you call a baseball team, you have no voice at the table. By the way, kill the kids' mics today.
All righty. Well, that was fun there. I don't know. It's The ironic part was it wasn't even that hot that they needed to have that 7 o'clock start. So, you know, again, it was like some people liked it. I like that traditional one. I'm a big baseball traditional person. That's why, like, I'm very anti-ABS. I don't like the pitch clock. I don't like a lot of the technology that's being jammed down the throat of baseball in the last few years.
Is ABS in the All-Star game?
Yeah, I want to talk about that a little bit before we get out of here as well. Because it's – there's the fact that ABS is in the All-Star game, it's coming. And no matter – no matter how we feel about it, it is coming. So, that's what's going on there. But, Justin Verlander, Dan, you wanted to get into him a little bit here. And I want to talk about, in this hour here, in this 10 o'clock hour, there's a couple guys, who I think in the first half, I want to put a little bit of a magnifying glass on. One's Justin Verlander, and I want to put one on Rafi Devers and Bob Melvin and that duo there. I know you got some thoughts on Bob Melvin and Rafi Devers. And then I want to get back into the Jungwoo Lee conversation at some point, too, at this hour as well. By the way, Bonte Hill is going to be joining us in about 50 minutes here on the River Islands guest line. Bonte Hill, as you all know, you see him on the Warriors pre- and post-game shows, but he's expanded his ever-growing repertoire to include Giants baseball this year as well. So we will be hearing from him at 11 o'clock this morning, so don't go anywhere for that. But Justin Verlander, Dan, so I did a bit of a deep dive on Verlander starts. So far this season. And he has had, as I count here, 9 starts this year where he has gone at least 5 innings pitched with 3 or less earned runs allowed. So this past start against the Phillies on the 9th, he went 6 innings. He gave up 4 runs, but 2 of those runs were unearned. So hence your 6 innings, 2 earned runs there. The Giants have lost all those starts from him. In those starts, he's had either 2 or less runs scored for him. Let's see, 4 times he's got 2 or less runs of support. Then you add in a couple shutouts, so 4 times he's had at least 2 or less runs of support. Then you've got 4 bullpen meltdowns that have been behind him as well. And this is basically to say that if you look at Justin Verlander's starts, he's 0-7 right now. With the way the offense has backed him up, an extra run here or there, or take away a blown save here or there. I think Ryan Walker has blown at least 2 of his saves. There's the one in Anaheim, I remember, back in April, and then the one 2 weeks ago in Chicago. Take away those 2 blown saves, give him a couple extra runs here or there, and he's probably 3-5 with a 4.70 ERA instead of 0-7 with a 4.70 ERA. And in that situation, Dan, I think we're looking at Justin Verlander very, very differently, despite the fact that all of his numbers would be the same other than the win-loss record.
Well, for example, take the pitcher who was on the bump last night for the Los Angeles Dodgers, Dustin May. Dustin May's got 5 wins this year. His ERA is nearly at 5. And he hasn't been very good, but when you have the support, obviously, of that Dodger offense, you know, things are going to look very different in terms of the win-loss record. So you cannot lean in on how many wins, which is none for one Justin Verlander, and you have to pull back some layers. And again, this is not a number one any longer. He's not the number 2. He's not even the 3. That's Birdsong, and Birdsong's got to straighten things out. But he's at the back end of the rotation. So as a 4 or 5 guy, I don't think you're going to do much better than that of Justin Verlander going forward. Not to mention that he's got that veteran guile, right? Like he's been there, done that. And so when you get down to the dog days of August and September and you're battling, whether you're walking down the Dodgers or you're trying to get in and shoehorn and potentially be the top wild card and get that mini home field advantage, you want somebody who knows how to pitch in those situations, and you can't overlook that.
No, absolutely agree with you there. And I messed up. I screwed my stats up here. 5 times he's gotten 2 or less runs of support. 4 times the bullpen has blown one of his leads. So my mistake on that one there. But again, you can't get too wrapped up in the win-loss record there. And it's when you watch Verlander pitch, I do think he is better than what the numbers have indicated, But at the same time, there's also starts like that start he had against the A's, because he's had a lot of rough starts. He's got, let's see, I got six starts here where he has gone less than five innings and allowed more than three runs. And on the 4th of July against the A's, the 20th anniversary of his major league debut, Dan, he went three innings, gave up six runs, and the A's, they were not fooled by anything he was throwing at him. Everything, I mean, the stuff looked good. He was hitting 95 on the gun with the fastball there in that first inning. I think he was hitting his locations in those games that he wanted to get, but the results just weren't there. Teams were, you know, the A's hitters were jumping on him. Brent Rooker, you know, pounced on him for a double down the line. You know, Lawrence Butler, I think, had a couple hits off of him as well. You know, they just were not fooled. And it's, there's something going on. That's what prompted Justin Verlander. He talked to John Shea after that game and said he's throwing stuff against the wall, trying to figure out what's going on with him and trying to figure out, reinvent himself. And he didn't say stuff, by the way. He said a not safe for air word. But, you know, Verlander, he's struggling to adapt right now. But I do believe the discourse is a little bit more intense on him than it should be. That being said, if you're looking at when the Giants signed Justin Verlander, a $15 million deal, they had him be the number three starter to start the season. I thought having him be the three starter was a bit big of an ask. I didn't think he had that in them. I would have rather have seen, you know, at the time, Jordan Hicks be that three starter, which, yikes, in hindsight. Or also see more, you know, Landon Roop or Hayden Birdsong taking that three spot, then maybe have Verlander in that four spot. But to your point, the veteran experience, I think, is why he got that three spot in the rotation. He is more of a fifth starter now. We talked to Alex Pavlovich about this, and let's see if I can find it here on my board a little bit. And here it is. Alex Pavlovich joined the Morning Rose the other day and talked about it's basically time to reset the expectations on Justin Verlander.
I throw the record out because I think they've had some really bad blown saves in Verlander's starts. And they also, I think, have scored like 26 runs for him, which is an incredible amount of run support just in how bad it is. And again, yesterday, I mean, he pitched well enough under most circumstances to be in that game, and they just do absolutely nothing. So I throw that out. I do think the stuff looks better yesterday. I mean, I think in general, people just have to maybe reset expectations where when he signed, you could go back a couple years and go, man, he's had some really good stretches, even as his approach is 40s and he's not too far removed from winning a Cy Young. Like, maybe he can be a real piece here. I think if you just reset expectations and think he's a back of the rotation guy, he's given him a lot of innings when he is healthy, and he's giving him a chance quite often. They just aren't scoring for him. So it's certainly been a little bit disappointing overall, and I know he has been disappointed with the way it's gone.
So when you view it through that lens of looking at him as simply a 4 or 5 starter instead of a 3 starter, how much does that change the conversation around Justin Verlander in terms of what you expect from him day to day?
Sort of where this all started with me, that he's perfectly situated at the back end of the rotation. That's who he is these days. And as a 4 or 5 guy, as you just laid out statistically, he's not bad. I think the bigger concern for Giant fans is the guy who's supposedly in front of him, and that's Hayden Birdsong. Like, that kid has to get it straight. Like, that little mental block, whatever it is that he runs into in the fourth inning where suddenly home plate is on another planet, like, that's scary because it's becoming psychological, and that's, you know, you don't want to go Rick and Keel on anybody here, but it seems as though like a little mental block is beginning to develop here where he's expecting, and when he loses it, he's not even in the same zip code.
Yeah, he loses his control super fast there. But the thing with Hayden Birdsong and why I'll give him a little bit more patience is the fact that he's 23 years old. He came up through the minors very, very fast. We've seen how good he is when he is right, Dan. And you mentioned on the show in the past how you're very high on Hayden Birdsong. Remember, you were higher on Birdsong than you were on Kyle Harrison at the start of the season. And I agreed with you. I do think Hayden Birdsong has a much higher ceiling than Kyle Harrison and a much brighter future than Kyle Harrison. But he's also 23 years old. Last year was his first taste of big league baseball. Guys like Hayden Birdsong are going to go through ups and downs, you know, growing pains, as they are tend to be called here. And you're willing to kind of wait for him to kind of come together. With Justin Verlander, though, you don't have that. This is who he is. He might, you know, tweak his mechanics a little bit, adjust here and there to adapt to where he's at in his baseball career. But Hayden Bergeson has another 10-plus years ahead of him, hopefully. Justin Verlander has, you know, maybe 10, 12 starts left in his career, potentially this season, if this is going to be his last season. You know, maybe he can get that to 13 or 14 starts if he's healthy. But, you know, those dog days come around. I'm kind of curious, you know, what the workload might do to him. I always said if Justin Verlander could basically do what Randy Johnson did in 2009, which is about 100, 110 innings with around a 4-something ERA, I would take that. Right now, I mean, he's probably going to get the innings, but the ERA numbers are going to be not quite there. All this to say, you're taking that, though, from a 5-starter. That, added on to that, though, if the playoffs were starting today, is he a lock to be in your playoff rotation?
Not a lock. And I think getting back to Hayden Birdsong, part of the reason there should be a level of concern, because I think as Giant fans, you have to be leaned in on today and this year. I know a lot of us like
this summer, Instacart is bringing back your favorites from 1999 with prices from 1999. That means 90s prices on juice pouches that ought to be respected, 90s prices on box mac and cheese, and 90s prices on ham, cheese, and cracker lunches. Enjoy all those throwbacks and more at throwback prices. Only through Instacart. $4.72 maximum discount per $10 of eligible items. Limit one offer per order. Expires 9/5 while supplies last. Discount based on CPI comparison.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
They say, well, if it doesn't work out this year, at least they're set up for the future. I've never subscribed to that. It's about, there's no guarantees any of us are going to be here. Who the hell knows, man, what's going on in this world currently, but I think that this is, you know, go to the playoffs this year and go as far as you can and potentially get back to a World Series and win the damn thing. And so with that being said, and just looking at it with those sort of parameters, it's when you're talking about, to your point, Hayden Birdsong, who is still learning, that learning curve and those moments are just going to get a lot more amplified when you're talking about big games in situations that he has nothing to fall back on. And so I think that especially the way things have gone for him recently, becomes a bit of a concern going forward. And same can be said for Landon Roop, who has been so much. Speaking of the Dodgers, he's going today, right?
Against Landon Roop is going to be on the mound today, yep.
Who got absolutely tagged last time out at Dodger Stadium, right? I think he just That's the game where he got pulled in the second inning, right?
Yeah, it was. On that start against the Dodgers, yeah,
six runs.
Yeah, 1 2/3, 6 runs allowed. Gave up the home run there. It was a learning moment for Landon Root.
Well, that's the operative phrase because he's been so good since then, and his control has been so. But again, there's another pitcher that when it comes to big games, if he's your number three, you're just not exactly sure what it is that you're going to get simply because they've never been there, done that before. Yeah.
And that's why I think it becomes more imperative for the Giants to go out and find a starting pitching option at the trade deadline that they can count on in a playoff series. Because, again, I don't think there's any – they're not going to move off Verlander anytime soon. I'm not quite sure what the solution would be if things go south. We did ask Pavs about what could happen if the Giants keep losing Verlander starts. Here's what he had to say about that.
I would guess that they probably don't care because I will tell you, everybody knows that he's at 262 wins. I have no idea how many losses he has, and I've never heard that from any Giants people. They all know the win total. Every single person in the organization knows the win total, but I don't think he's been doing this so long. I just don't think he cares about the loss total. And yeah, like something like 0-10, that would certainly stand out and probably become a little bit of a national story, but I'll give him credit. He's handled this really well. He's been very open after these starts and goes, yeah, I haven't thrown well, but he was excited yesterday and has been excited a couple times recently. So I don't know that they would look at the overall record. I think it's more about the way he's throwing. And if there was good velocity yesterday, I mean, he looked good in the first inning and there were other points where he looked like himself. And if that's the guy they're getting, I think they're going to be pretty excited about that for the second half and hope that it turns around.
That's one of those things. It's kind of like, you know, when a hitter's kind of getting buzzard luck at the plate, like Willy Adames to start this year, I think there was a lot of hits he had that just didn't find the ground when they should have. Eventually that does come around. Now you are seeing that from Adames. He is finally becoming, he's getting the hits that, you know, he was supposed to be getting earlier in the year. Verlander is pitching well enough to where he should have some wins under his belt, and he's pitching well enough to where you should feel good about him now getting wins under his belt in the second half. I'm curious when they'll have his first start be. They play in Toronto, Dan, this first weekend coming out the All-Star break. I wouldn't be surprised if they maybe reset the rotation. Might be Webb, Ray, maybe they do Landon Roop on that Sunday in Toronto, which could set up Verlander and Birdsong to take those first two games in Atlanta against a struggling Braves team that just this morning actually put Austin Riley on the injured list, so he might not be available for that series. So that'd be one less bat that the Giants would have to worry about there. So when that first win comes for Verlander, he might have a chance against Atlanta. If it doesn't come then, you know, it could come either maybe they try and work his start out so he gets July 26th start against the Pittsburgh Pirates at home against a very bad offense, and that would be his last start before the trade deadline. So he'll have chances to get those wins before the trade deadline comes, and I feel like it's one of those things where when Verlander does get that first win, it's like the dam's going to break, and I feel like we're going to see a little bit of a better Verlander the rest of the way, where you could finally get that monkey goose egg off his back.
Yeah, and one thing that I hear bantered about, and people sort of kick this around about moving him into the bullpen, while that may sound like somewhat, there's some logic behind it, it's not going to happen. He is not going to the bullpen.
No,
it's Justin Verlander at the end of the day. And that's, he would interpret that as an insult, and he ain't going to the bullpen. That's just not going to happen. And the Giants aren't going to ask him to do that. You mentioned the second half of the season against Toronto, by the way, while the Braves might be struggling, Toronto is not.
Came out of nowhere to take over the AL East.
That team has won 9 of 10, and right now, I mean, those boys are, they're firing on all cylinders. And the Yankees, now looking up at Toronto, man.
Who saw that? Yeah, they are two games back.
Remember, we thought the Yankees and Detroit, everybody were like, okay, if there's two divisions that have already been decided, this is like a month ago, it's the Yankees. They're just ridiculous. They're running away in the East, and Detroit has obviously got the Central. Well, guess again.
Yeah, well, Detroit, I mean, they got full command of the Central. They are 12.5 up on the Twins there. Astros 6 up on the Mariners in the AL West. The Astros, man, they're like Thanos. They are inevitable. We'll take a look at the National League standings on the other side. Also, Rafi Devers, how concerning is his health right now? Jung Hoo Lee, what we saw from him last night, great with the bat, not so great in the field. How much of a leash do you give him in the second half? Want to get into that on the other side. And 30 minutes from now, oh baby, Bonte Hill joins the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap.
That's Dan Devone. I'm Sam Lubman. A lot more coming up. Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
High drive to left. Back is Conforto. At the wall. Out of here. This might be a rare night, Mike, where the ball is carried.
Well, you just don't see that many balls go out to left field off the bat of left-handed hitters now. As Will Clark would tell you, it happens in the daytime, but not very much at night.
Now back to the best Giants talk in the Bay. The Orange and Black Weekend Wrap on 95.7, The Game.
It is the best Giants talk in the Bay. We are back on the wrap. Sam Lubman along here with Dan Devone, Bonte Hill in about 30 minutes. He'll be joining the show. You know him as the host of Giants and Warriors pre- and post-game on NBC Sports California. Group Kipe on the call there for NBC Sports Bay Area. Did I say NBC Sports California? I meant to say NBC Sports Bay Area there. And that's, yeah, NBC Sports Bay Area is also where that call came from last night. Giants win over the Dodgers 8-7. Love it when the Giants beat the Dodgers no matter the occasion. So shout out to that win last night. And shout out to all those who are watching on YouTube. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. We are coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. We were taking a look at the standings before we went to break there. Obviously, the Blue Jays, they have taken a lead over the Yankees in the AL East. And the guys in the back, they got this. We got up in here, this Cubs-Yankees game going on right now. And Aaron Judge just hit a fat one out the center field that myself and Steven Rizzotto thought was gone. Pete Kerr-Armstrong ends up catching it right in front of the wall. And those could be your two MVP winners this year, Aaron Judge and Pete Kerr-Armstrong. That's
And what do you, speaking of the Cubs playing the Yankees, I've never asked you this. How do you feel about everybody playing everybody in Major League Baseball this year?
I'm torn on it. It's as if we were having this conversation a little bit with Ron Wotus last night, and there is the part of me that I do enjoy seeing the American League teams coming in every year. I do enjoy the fact that I get to see either the Red Sox or Yankees every year and get to see the Giants, you know, take on, you know, other teams, the AL, not this year. I did not like these games against the AL Central this year. Giants went 3-10 against the AL Central this year. So I do like seeing some of these other teams, but the downside of it is, Dan, last night it was July 11th, and the All-Star break is this coming week, and this was the first time the Dodgers played at Oracle Park this year. I liked it when the Giants and Dodgers played each other 19 times a year because you got a home-and-home in April, you probably had a home-and-home in September, and then you got two other series sprinkled somewhere throughout the season. And you don't have that anymore. You know, the first month of the year, you know, the Giants are, you know, opening at home against the Mariners. They're going to Cincinnati to start the season. They're in Yankee Stadium in April when it's, you know, pouring rain. And it's just, that's a weird feeling to see those kind of matchups in April. You know, at the end of the year, you know, the teams are going like the Giants finished against St. Louis last year to end the season. Like, I always liked it when April and September, it's almost exclusively divisional matchups. That made the division races more exciting. Whereas now with this balanced schedule, as cool as it is to see all these other teams, it's doing it at the expense of divisional rivalries. And that I don't like. So I'm a little torn on it.
I have the complete opposite take. I enjoy seeing everybody. And I think that when you look back in 2021 when the Giants won 107 games, it seemed like they were playing the Arizona Diamondbacks every other day. Like, they played them 30 times that year and won like 28 of them. That's when Arizona was bad. That's when Arizona was, you know,
really, really bad.
The Colorado Rockies of this year. So maybe not that bad, but not good. And I think that it's, I enjoy it. I guess it just depends on a fan's perspective and depending on the division. You know, sometimes people just don't feel as though it's very fair if you're in a competitive division as opposed to a weak division that you're compiling all those wins.
But those things are cyclical, though. I mean, it's sometimes divisions are good, sometimes divisions are bad. I mean, you see it, again, different sport, but you see it in the NFL a lot. One year the NFC West is terrible, next year it's really good, next year it's terrible. It's just these things fluctuate, and I get this eradicates all that.
Though.
Well, yeah, but no, see this thing, and it's this fallacy of fairness in scheduling. It's just, you're never going to have a schedule where everything is perfectly balanced, as Thanos would say, as all things should be. A lot of Thanos references this hour. But it's just, you're never going to have that true balance. Even today with the balanced schedule, you know, if you're the Colorado Rockies in the NL West, you're buried behind four teams that are never going to let you get anywhere close to 81 wins for the next 10 years. But if the Rockies were in, say, the AL Central or the NL Central, I don't think there's any that whole lot better. But they're not as hopeless of a situation as they're in the NL West. And that's just, there's nothing they can do about that. Some divisions are just going to be tougher. And it's just the only way to truly balance it out, and I say this knowing that Major League Baseball is going to be going there someday, is do away with divisions, and you're going to have two leagues, 15 teams each, top six teams get into the playoffs.
That's what it used to be.
Yeah, and I think it's going to go back to that at some point. But me, I enjoy the divisional races. There's something fun about that. And I look at the September schedule this year. Other than a road series Labor Day weekend in St. Louis, and then the last homestand, they face the Cardinals again. Giants don't see the Cardinals at all except for in the month of September, which that's a weird scheduling quirk. It's all NL West opponents. You got Rockies at Rockies, at Cardinals, Diamondbacks, Dodgers, at Diamondbacks, at Dodgers, Cardinals, and then finish with three against the Rockies at home. So this year it is kind of more of a traditional September schedule with all the, you know, NL West teams. But yeah, I don't know, it just, when you're in a divisional race against another team, but you're playing like the Royals, like what are we doing here? Like that's not a divisional race. This is like July baseball in September. If there's divisional races going on, exciting divisional races, you should be playing your divisional opponents in September when the division race is at its highest moment of excitement. That's how I look at it.
I subscribe to the less is more theory. So the fact that the Dodgers haven't been here, when they come into town, it becomes that much more exciting. It's like the Dodgers are here. But even they were here last week, big deal.
Well, no, I mean, even when they were coming to town three times a year versus two, it was still exciting.
I still think that when you only see Shohei and it's been this long, the anticipation becomes so much. And when he delivers like that of last night, it's kind of like Leonardo DiCaprio's agent. Like Leonardo DiCaprio does not do late night television, but when he does, you'll be sure to tune in because it doesn't happen very frequently. So there's something to, I think, the fact that you haven't seen the Dodgers up until now that I think adds to all the excitement and energy this weekend.
I want to see the Dodgers more. Like, I don't care. Like, again, they're good, which, you know, is a dangerous thing to ask for. But I just, again, it's like Yankees, Red Sox. Like, Yankee, Red Sox fans, they want to be at those games. Those are the games that they get up for the most. And I don't like sacrificing, seven games a year against the Dodgers just so I can see the Giants, you know, play the Blue Jays every year. You know, I don't need to sacrifice Giants-Dodger games to see more games against the Angels. Like, I like seeing, you know, the Yankees and these other teams, but not at the expense of my division rivalries. Zach, what do you got on this?
Yeah, I think you guys are just missing a key point here. Oh. I know recently, the numbers came out, the ratings are up pretty decently within Major League Baseball. And I think especially in September with us playing the Dodgers six times, like, you have to take into consideration, like, what's going on at the time. You know, football's starting up. And they're the big boys, like Giants, Dodgers. And especially if the division is relatively close, it's like people might actually tune into those games. So,
well, yeah, no, that's kind of my point there, is that's why you want to have those divisional games in September, because those are high stakes games. And if you have a situation, you're not going to have it this year, but if you have a situation where, you know, it's a tight race those last 2 weeks and the Dodgers are playing the Blue Jays and the Giants are, you know, in Baltimore playing the Orioles, like, that just the stakes, I mean, they're there, but they're not as prevalent, I guess, in that situation there. But again, that's the baseball we live in, and it's they're eventually going to do away with divisions, I think. I would not be shocked if in the next 10 years baseball is just two 15-team leagues. And when that day comes, because he's on an 8-year deal, it's very possible Rafi Devers will still be wearing the orange and black when that divisional shakeup comes. And yeah, Rafi Devers. So we got some news last night from Bob Melvin, unprompted, that Rafi Devers is dealing with a bulging disc in his back. It's not serious enough to require an injury list stint. He is on pain meds to manage the pain. He is still taking pregame work at first base. And depending on how long you watch him take that pregame work at first base, you either think he's doing all right or not very good at all. And that was kind of the situation yesterday where he started off pretty good. But then Steven Rizzotto, you were there. You saw kind of the more uglier moments of the pregame work at first base. What was going on there?
Yeah, I mean, he's still over there learning, and it's not your regular, you know, game-like situation. It's still during batting practice. So the reps that he was getting was coming off of a fungo. So they had Matt Williams kind of almost at second base and kind of hitting little short hops to him at first base. And what I saw is it wasn't going great. I mean, there's a ball that went into the Dodger dugout. There's a ball that would go under his glove. He was missing some scoops. And like, I understand these are the growing pains that are going to come with Rafael Devers, A, learning a new position, and B, putting on a glove for the first time all year. He's only DH'd. So it's going to happen, but you know, it's very entry-level work right now that he's getting over there, but the only reason he hasn't played over there is because his groin and his back. So it's ugly, but I mean, just fingers crossed that nothing happens in an important situation.
So with that all being said, thank you for that update there, Rizzo. Yeah, Dan, I think it's very easy for Giants fans to feel underwhelmed by Rafi Devers and his 23 games so far with the Giants. 100 plate appearances, hitting .220 since being acquired, 2 home runs. My big concern is obviously this is not a deep cut here. It's the strikeouts. There have been a lot of those. He had a 22% strikeout rate in Boston before coming here. That has ballooned up to 31% since then. All the other metrics, though, you look at where he's hitting the ball, he's pulling it a little bit more with the Giants than he was with the Red Sox, but similar amount of levels on soft contact, medium contact, hard contact. Bats coming off the ball very similarly. Swings a little bit flatter now than it was in Boston, but the biggest difference is the amount of strikeouts with him. It's alarming.
He's pressing. And I don't know if you saw the shot of him last week just berating himself, and just, you could see that he cares, right? Like, he's clearly frustrated. He missed a pitch last night. I want to say, it might have been Dustin May. Or is it Bond? Is that how you say the guy's name? The left-hander for the...
Or Bonda, I believe.
Bonda?
Yeah.
Came out of the pen.
I don't remember me being Dustin May throwing that pitch to him.
Yeah, well, he got behind, and he came in with just some cheese right up in the zone. Devers was waiting on it and just missed it. And Devers had this conversation at the plate. Very brief, but it was just like, come on, man, what are you doing? So he's pressing, man. And this whole idea that he doesn't care, and I think that maybe that was sort of the image maybe that Boston was sort of, like, this guy's an introvert and he's only about his own numbers. That could be the farthest thing from what we've seen of Devers. He is a guy that he's just got to relax. And I think by the end of the day, he will be Devers. But I think he's trying too hard. I think this has been a lot on his plate. And then to your point that you have to factor in the fact.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 orders. Service fees apply for 3 orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Fact that physically this guy's not at 100%.
No, not even close to 100%. Dan, I was when last Saturday when I was out in Sacramento for that Giants A's game, he had a double. I want to say it was in the seventh inning, and he had a double there. And Brett Wisely got thrown out at home plate to end the inning on that double. And my first thought after that play was, wow, did Matt Williams really just send another runner to their doom at home plate? And I got a text from one of our old producers, Brian Iglesia. He's like, did you see Wisely just run through that Matt Williams stop sign? And I went back and watched the replay, and Wisely did indeed blow through that Matt Williams stop sign. Why am I bringing up Brett Wisely here? I missed all of that, Dan, because I was too busy watching Rafi Devers lumber around the bases to second base. First off, for Giants, I don't know what Giants fans out there are saying that Rafi Devers doesn't care. Because I now you just triggered me with that phrase there, Dan. Like, this dude is clearly laboring. He is clearly in pain. And he is pushing himself as hard as he possibly can on the base paths to leg out a double there when one of his legs is, like, about to fall off. His back is, you know, about to implode. Like, he is putting his body on the line right now for this team that he just joined. Like, he is trying so hard, to your point, the pressing thing, to make a good first impression here. And the fact that Giants fans are going to try and make this insinuation that he doesn't care, that is absolute nonsense. So, Giants fans, get that mentality out of your minds right now. That is not accurate. I think with Devers, it's, yeah, there is a level of pressing. And, yeah, the health thing is an issue. He cannot run right now. He just can't. Like, a ball into triples, he's basically going to be Benji Molina. If he hits a ball out to triples alley, that is probably a single, maybe a double if you're lucky. Like, that's where he's at right now because he just cannot physically run that well. Then you add in the back issue too. The back is going to impact your swing. Like, that's just, you need your back to swing. That's why a lot of baseball players, I know Mookie Betts was golfing yesterday, but a lot of baseball players try to avoid golfing during the season because they don't want to throw their back out on the course because then that's going to screw their swing up at the plate. So, like, he's not playing at 100%. He's fighting hard to play through it. And this idea that Giants fans are going to come down his road about him not caring or not going all in or anything like that, this dude's trying as hard as he can to ball out for this team. So let's have some appreciation for what he's doing there. Let's have some patience for what he's trying to do here too. He's too damn good of a hitter, Dan, to fly across the country and then just forget how to hit a baseball. So I do believe this All-Star break is coming at a really good time for him. Thank God he's not going to it, because if there is ever a guy who just needs to be put in the hyperbaric chamber or throw him in the back to tank for the next week, it's one Rafi Devers, because if the Giants are going to make a significant run in the second half, they need him to be healthy. And I feel that when he does get right, when that back starts feeling better, when that groin's ready to go, we're going to see the Rafi Devers that was hitting the snot out of the ball in Boston. And it's going to be glorious to watch.
Well, when you think about Devers and you think about the Giants and their lack of hitting in the first part of the season, I think that they're really perfectly positioned, or at least dangerously positioned, if you're the Padres, the Dodgers, the Cardinals, the Brewers, when you're all vying for either division titles or certainly positioning for the wild card. San Francisco right now, because I'm with you, I think Devers will be Devers when it's all said and done with. Here comes Willie Adames. Suddenly, Casey Schmidt makes sense at second base. Chapman's healthy back at third. And the pitching is the pitching, and the bullpen is arguably the best in baseball. This is a team right now that I think is perfectly suited. If you're to look at somebody as you hit the All-Star break, like, as to give you the horse racing analogy, as they hit the top of the stretch, and we're not at the top of the stretch, but they're the danger on the outside as they hit the top of the stretch. Look out for the Giants, because right now, again, there's nowhere to go but up for guys like Patrick Bailey and Verlander and certainly Willie Adames and Devers and, you know, all these guys who have struggled, yet here's a team that's still walking down the Dodgers and within four games. It's right now, it's an enviable position to be Absolutely, in, yeah. like that of the San Francisco Giants.
So, again, got the week coming off here for Devers. Honestly, we do have a lineup today, actually. Let's check and see if he is in said
lineup
today.
Do we want to do Devers, Will Clark a little bit?
We can get into that, a little bit. I didn't think that was that big of an issue. By the way, we do have a lineup today. Rafael Devers is in the lineup. Lineup really quick. Mike Yastrzemski, he'll be leading off in right field. Elliot Ramos, man, he needs to get going. Yeah, he has been ice cold. This month. He'll be hitting second in left field. Rafi Devers batting third at DH. Chapman in your cleanup spot. He'll be your third baseman. Willie Adames at shortstop. He'll be batting sixth. Jung-Hoo Lee, he's in the lineup, hitting seventh in center field. Casey Schmidt is hitting... Adames fifth, Lee sixth. Casey Schmidt, I got to learn how to count. He'll be hitting seventh at second base. Big Dom Smith in the lineup again at first base. Going with the lefty against the righty, Shohei Ohtani. He'll be hitting eighth at first. Patrick Bailey in the squat, hitting above the Mendoza line now, or at the Mendoza line now. He'll be hitting ninth as your catcher. So, again, are going to have Devers in the lineup. I'm curious if he's going to have maybe a day off tomorrow just to kind of get him a little bit more rest before the second half. That'll be interesting to see. But, yeah, the whole Rafi Devers, Will Clark, Will Fleming thing. So, Will Fleming said this. Let me see if I can. If we can get what Will Fleming said on the board back there, boys, in a second, I'd love to get into that a little bit just so we can add some context as to what was said. But basically, Will Fleming shared this story about how Rafi Devers was supposed to take ground balls with Will Clark. This was like the first week that he was there, and he didn't show up. And Will Clark responded to that with some colorful language telling Will Fleming, excuse me, sir, but that's not quite what happened. If you could please bleep, 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 bleep off. That's what was said there. A little bit more color than I added there. And then Will Clark yesterday kind of cleared the air officially saying that, look, it was a non-issue. He just wasn't able to do it that day, but we are going to be working with him. But anyway, here is what Will Fleming had to say here as I try to find that sound on the board here. Is it there? I am. You guys want to play it in the back if you guys have it? The Will Fleming, what he said about Jung-Hoo Lee? If we have it, are we still working
on
it?
We have the Will Clark going off on Will Fleming.
Well, you know, I basically said what Will Fleming said, and this is what Clark ended up saying about Will Fleming in response.
You know, Rafi and I are fine. I'm going to work with him, you know, whenever I get around to first base and all that. And Will Fleming, you can go f*** off, motherfucker. All right? You want to f***ing take a conversation that we're having and then blow it out of proportion because you're a f***ing East Coast piece of reporter? F*** off. All right. And so other than that, I'm cool. But, you know, today's one of them days where, you know, blown out of proportion.
That was from his Deuces Wild podcast with Eric Burns. So, yeah, Dan, what was your, as you're watching this whole saga play out over the week, what was going through your mind?
I'm sort of with Will Clark and all of this. There's nothing to see here. I really don't. I'm sort of curious how it was played out on the morning show and sort of 95.7 The Game, because I really don't think that this was an issue. It's Will Clark at the end of the day, and he's doing a podcast. And if we know anything about Will Clark, he's colorful, right? He's going to say stuff, and that's one of the beauties of him. You give him a live mic, he's going to tell you something, which is why he's perfect for a podcast. But listen, I mean, come on, man. He's vintage 1980s baseball. Let's just put it that way. And he can rub some people the wrong way.
He's got that red-ass mentality.
Yeah, he's always been that way. So I don't think there's anything to see here. I just move on. I know a lot of people sort of got into it, but it's just Will Clark at the end of the day, being Will Clark.
Yeah, and again, this which makes it even more of a layered story is that it does involve Will Fleming, brother of Dave Fleming. And we weren't really planning on asking Dave about this, but Joe Shasky, he took that bullet. Shasky, he framed the question really well. Shasky's like, hey, sometimes my brother says things and I got to go and check him on it. Dave, your brother was saying this. What's going on there? And we played it off for laughs. Shasky and Dave, they have a very good relationship. Here's what Dave Fleming had to say about what Will Fleming had to say about Rafi Devers.
Yeah, I mean, look, do I think what he said was true? I don't. I mean, do I think what he said was true? It was true because Will Clark said it on his own podcast. Yeah. And that, so my brother, you know, my brother's self-defense was, well, Will said it. I was just parroting what Will Clark said, which is true. Will said that on his podcast. And, but you know, is there an issue with, like, it got painted as like, there's a big issue with this bad guy. Not at all. Yeah. Like, not at all. Devers is happy to be here. He's working. He's taking ground balls every day. He will play first base.
I mean, Dan, he was taking grounders at first base literally like an hour after his introductory press conference. So I just, and again, I hate to come down Will Fleming's road here. He's a friend of the Morning Roast, had a chance to meet him. He's a great guy. Anyone, again, he's Dave Fleming's brother. So, you know, you're in just by that alone. It just seems like there's this continuing narrative coming out of the Boston Red Sox that Rafi Devers is a bad dude and he's the reason why things went south. And the more and more they do this and less he responds, it just makes it more and more evident as to, like, this is why he wanted out of that organization. And they continue to paint him as the bad guy. And I hate that Will Fleming's a part of this now, but that organization, whether it's ownership, the general manager, whether it's Jonathan Papelbon, whether it's David Ortiz, anyone who is getting those checks from John Henry has been out to get Rafi Devers. And frankly, I'm not even mad anymore. It's like, you know what? Sour grapes. Have fun with those sour grapes. Wash down with the Sam Adams.
The one thing I would say about the situation with Will Clark is that, and just this is just going off of what Will Clark had to say, which I thought was so damn interesting, where he said, yeah, he didn't want to come out. Not next time I'm going to grab him by the back of the neck. It's like, that's the, like,
well, that's the hype. That's the Will Clark hyperbole. Like,
Will,
there.
Come on, man.
No one's actually going to grab someone by the back of the
neck. But this is where I point a finger at Bob Melvin, because what was the one issue that the Red Sox had essentially at the end of the day when it came to Rafi Devers? It was the communication or the lack thereof, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't tell him about Bregman. They didn't tell him about, he was left out in the dark. And so, listen, if Devers doesn't want to come out because the Red Sox are in town, before you fly Will Clark into town, Bob Melvin,
maybe let him know.
After what it is,
don't
we just saw.
Don't go popping off on your podcast about stuff.
Talk to Devers and just say, hey, listen, what do you think about Will Clark coming in and you taking some ground balls? I know the Red Sox are here. How do you feel about it? He's got to be in the loop. If we learn nothing else of the situation maybe, he just left, Bob Melvin, talk to the guy.
Yeah, maybe let Will know, hey, Rafi's not going to take grounders today because of XYZ. Do me a favor. Don't go screaming about it on your podcast. Something like that.
Well, just talk to Devers and say, listen, do you want to take ground balls with Will Clark? Or at least let him know Will's going to come in to work with you. And Devers can say, you know what? It's against the Red Sox. Like he booted, like, Pasta saw him boot a couple of ground balls and it rolled into the dugout.
Yeah, you
of the
don't want to do that in front of your old team.
Imagine it rolling into the dugout of the Red Sox. Retrieving that ball?
I mean, he still did take grounders in front of the Red Sox dugout. I mean, again, he was taking grounders literally an hour after putting on a Giants jersey officially for the first time in his presser. So again, this whole thing got blown out of proportion. I'm blaming Boston media for blown out of proportion. Will Clark had maybe a little too much fun talking about it, and that probably added some life to it too. So I think that's going on there. We'll talk to Bonte Hill about it on the other side. And some news just broke, Dan, in the last few minutes. Not about the Giants, but about a different team that Bonte does pre- and post-game for. Are we going to have to ask Bonte Hill about Jonathan Kuminga?
Let's go there.
Something broke just a few minutes ago that I think we're going to have to. So always got to talk some basketball somehow on this station. So that is coming up next. Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.